People say less is more. At Red Barn, we think less is better. It's what you won't find that sets our natural premium pet food apart. No byproducts, no corn or soy, no fillers. Just the natural ingredients your pets need to live the healthy life they deserve. Look at the label. We want you to. Red Barn Naturals Pet Food. Simply the best. Find it in your local pet specialty store. Visit redbarninc.com/coupon to save $1 off your first can.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of the Experimental Homesteader Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Sherry Ann Richardson, and this episode is called Using Your Herbal Harvest. And we're going to learn about all the different things you can do with herbs, from making your own spice blends to creating natural crafts, using them around your home for cleaning and pest control, and a lot more. Our guest call-in number today is 1-626-657-2120, and I would like to invite you to call in with all of your questions and comments. I love hearing from the readers. And the first thing we're going to talk about is making your own spice blends. If you've been to the grocery store lately, you know that spices are quite expensive. Fact is, most things with herbs are quite expensive. You can use herbs in baking. You can make herbal candies. You can make seasonings. You can make herbal teas, vinegars, and wines. And even some medicinal remedies. But making your own herbal seasonings, they taste a lot better than they do when they come from the grocery store. They're fresher, of course. And you know how the herbs were grown. Herbs are easy to grow. There's no reason to put chemicals on them. But a lot of people do. There's also a question of some herbs being radiated before they're brought into the country. And so this is another issue. Often the herbs that you see on your store shelves are at least a year old, if not older. And so that kind of takes away from their taste, too. That's why they don't look quite as green and fresh when you use them. After you've made your first herbal spice blends, you're going to understand this. So first of all, a real easy everyday spice blend that you can make is your own seasoning salt. And if you're on a salt-free diet, you don't need to add the salt. You can just add the other ingredients. And the seasoning salt is made up of 1/4 cup of sea salt. And you do want to make sure you get sea salt, not your standard salt from the store. 1/2 teaspoon of fresh thyme leaves, and you want these to be dried. You want all of your herbs in this to be dried. 1/2 teaspoon of marjoram, 3/4 teaspoon of garlic powder, and all you have to do here is take some of the dried garlic cloves that you have and grind them up in a coffee grinder, and there you go, you have your own garlic powder. 2 teaspoons of paprika, and as you know, paprika is a pepper, and you can grow it in your garden. And 1/2 teaspoon of celery leaves or seeds. And again, you want these ingredients dried. And all you do is mix them up together, put them in your coffee grinder or your blender after you have them all powdered, and give them a whirl so that they're really mixed and really incorporated. Put them in a clean, dry jar. Put a label on it. Put it in a cool, dark, and dry place, such as a cabinet, and use a little bit on your food as you need it. This particular seasoning salt is good with any type of food. Another favorite that we have is an Italian herb blend. Now, again, if you want to use salt, you can use 1/3 cup of sea salt. We don't use salt in our Italian herb blend. Instead, we use 2 teaspoons of basil leaves. We use 2 teaspoons of oregano, 2 teaspoons of sage, 1/2 teaspoon of chili powder, and 1 teaspoon of garlic powder. And again, we grow all of these herbs in our own garden. I make my own homemade chili powder. And I will have that recipe up on experimentalhomesteader.com if you would like to find it, or you can email me. All of these spice blends are available in my book, 101 Tips for Self-Sufficiency. And so you can find them there. Again, the name of that book is 101 Self-Sufficiency Gardening Tips is the actual name of it. It is available on Amazon for the Kindle. And there are all kinds of really cool tips in that, all kinds of things that you can do with herbs. The other thing that I want to talk about is creating natural crafts. A lot of people don't think about making herbal wreaths that you can use in your kitchen. You can put a lot of the spices that you use every day, such as garlic, dried peppers, sage, whatever herbs you use a lot of, you can make a little culinary wreath and you can hang it up in your kitchen, as long as it's not real dusty, because you don't want it in a real dusty place. And you can just pick off what you want and use it as you need it. And that's a great way to store herbs and make them look kind of decorative if you like. You can make herbal Christmas decorations, herbal wedding decorations, swags to go over your door, wreaths for the front of your doors. And the best part of this is when you make these herbal decorations for inside of your home, they actually scent your home. There are all kinds of recipes out there for making herbal potpourries or even sachets that you can put in your clothes or in with your linens to help scent those. And these are not hard things to do. You don't really have to be a crafty person, because if you're making a potpourri, it doesn't have to look pretty. If you have some dried flowers, that's great. But if you don't, you can always put it in a dish. You can put it in a little fabric bag. The key here is to make sure you choose herbs that smell good together and that have a strong scent. If you don't think the scent is strong enough, you can add a couple drops of essential oils. And I do recommend essential oils over fragrance oils, because fragrance oils are synthetics. Essential oils actually come from plants. And it is the oils that the plant's leaves create that are distilled and removed from the plant and concentrated to make those. And yes, you can distill your own essential oils at home. The difference is, unless you have a lot of expensive equipment, you're going to have a little bit of problem separating the oil from the hydrosol. But you can do that by freezing everything that comes out of your still, and the oil will pour off. Now, you still won't get 100% oil. You're still going to have a little bit of that hydrosol in there, because sometimes the oil gets around the water in such a way that it doesn't necessarily let it all freeze. But you can do this and separate it. And hydrosols are wonderful for putting in your bath. You can cook with them. You can use them to fragrance your home. You can use them in soap making if you make soap. I mean, there's just a ton of things you can do with them, and they smell fantastic. And learning how to use a still is not something to be afraid of. When you're distilling herbs, it's not going to blow up on you or anything like that. You're not putting the pressure in. You're just basically boiling the water and forcing the steam through copper piping to bring it out the other end and have it drip into a container that's going to catch those essential oils. It's also good to use a lot of herbs around your home for cleaning. Mint is wonderful to put in your dishwater or your floor wash water just because of how wonderful the scent is. A lot of herbs are antibacterial, such as lemons, which really isn't an herb, I know, but it's the citrus family is really, really has good antibacterial properties. And you can simply slice a lemon in half and use the lemon to scrub your countertops or whatever else you want to. Of course, you're going to want to wipe it down afterwards to make sure it's not sticky or anything like that. But the scent's going to be there. The properties are going to be there. You can distill the rinds of citrus if you want to take the time to remove the rinds and put them in a still and do that. Just be aware it's going to take quite a few. Another thing that I like to do for my wash water is take a combination of citrus fruits, lemons, oranges, and limes, slice them up, put them in a jar of vinegar, seal it, set it on my window sill, and allow the sun to extract all of those oils, which the vinegar absorbs. And after several weeks, depending on how strong you want the scent, you're going to want to strain that vinegar off and compress the citrus that's left to squeeze all of that vinegar out of them, all of the liquid from their own oils, their own liquid. And you can use a cup of that in your rinse water in your washing machine to give your laundry a wonderful smell. And if you don't know, vinegar will help soften your laundry. You can definitely use it in place of fabric softener. A little bit of vinegar in your wash cycle will actually help your detergent do a better job. So those are some great things to do. And again, I want to encourage you to call in. Our guest call-in number is 1-626-657-2120. And I'm Sherry Ann Richardson. The show is called Experimental Homesteader, and the website is experimentalhomesteader.com, and that is experimentalhomesteader.com. And, of course, there are herbs that help repel pests from your home. Tansy is great for drying and putting around areas where ants come in because ants don't like tansy. So that's a really good one. If you grow pinies or peonies, you can plant a perimeter of tansy around them, and you're still going to get the ants, which those plants need for their flowers to be able to open. But you're not going to have as much of a problem as you might otherwise normally have. Doing things as naturally as you can is really important for the environment. It's a lot better to use natural herbs and natural products that you grow. And some other things, herbs are not easy to grow. Herbs are easy to grow. If you've never grown herbs, the first thing you want to do is think about what is your purpose in growing herbs. Are you just wanting some culinary herbs to use in cooking? Are you wanting some medicinal herbs to make your own herbal medicines? Maybe you just want some herbs to add fragrance to your baths or for therapeutic or aromatherapy use. Maybe you want to make your own cosmetics or body care. Maybe you just want to do crafts. Like I said, there's a lot of wonderful herbal wreaths, swags, floral arrangements, potpourri, sachets. You can make dyes out of herbs. You can make baskets out of herbs. You can make fiber out of some of the herbs. And you can even make your own paper, which is a really cool project to do. And then there are the practical uses. There are a lot of herbs that help both livestock and domestic pets. Wormwood is one, although you do want to be careful how you use it. Comfrey. There is just a lot there. Herbs make wonderful companion plants. They attract a variety of beneficial insects into your garden. And if you don't know, the beneficial insects, such as the parasitic wasps, which are these little tiny wasps, but you're not even going to notice unless they're in groupings. They attack the tomato hornworm, and they lay their eggs on it. So if you've seen a big green hornworm on your tomatoes and you've seen these little white dots on its back, that's the parasitic wasp. Do not kill that hornworm. Let nature take its course. As I said, the herbal house cleaning. Some herbs are great as ground covers and can even help prevent erosion in some place if, you know, if you're having a problem with that. So we will go back up here and we will talk a little bit about growing herbs over the winter, because of course we're going into the winter, and some of your perennial herbs such as sage and oregano and parsley will last quite a while into the winter, and you'll be able to go out and still harvest some fresh leaves. It's a good idea to go ahead and harvest at least a third of the plants now. Get those dried and stored because they will die back if you have a harsh winter. But what do you do about your annual herbs such as basil or pineapple sage? Or maybe you love cilantro and you really like it fresh, and of course it's going to die off over the winter because it is an annual herb. And an annual is basically a plant that will grow and it will flower or set seeds or whatever it's supposed to do. And then at the end of the growing season, it's going to die. And the only way it's going to come back next year is if it self-seeds, because the roots are going to be gone. So what you can do with some of these herbs is you can pot them up. Make sure there's no pests on them. Look under the leaves because that's where you're going to see the pest. If you do see something, make sure they are not butterfly eggs, because if they are, you want to leave that herb alone. You don't want to kill those butterflies. If you're not sure, you can take the plant to your local extension agent and they can help you determine, you know, is this a pest? Is this a beneficial insect? What exactly is this? But you can bring those herbs inside and you can put them in a sunny window where you can continue to harvest them throughout the winter. You can set up a little shelf and put a grow light up above them. I really like the 4-foot fluorescent grow lights. You want to select one bulb from the hot end of the spectrum and one bulb from the cold end of the spectrum. And the reason for this is that's going to give you a wider variety of lights of the spectrums of the color, because plants really need every color of the light spectrum in order to maintain their growth and flower and fruit like they're supposed to. And it's easier just to let them have that instead of you trying to decide, oh, today they need blue and a week from now they're going to need red. That can get really complicated. So just do yourself a favor, and the way you're going to know this, look on the package of lights. If you see reds and yellows and oranges, those bulbs are from the hot end. If you see blues and greens, those bulbs are from the cool end. And again, put one bulb from each end of the spectrum in your 4-foot fluorescent light, you're going to be good to go. And this is going to help these herbs continue to grow throughout the winter. You're going to continue to be able to harvest them. You do want to harvest your herbs before they flower, because once they flower, the flavor of the leaves is going to be reduced. The other thing you want to do is harvest your herbs early in the morning, because that's where they're going to have the most essential oils. And I do want to remind you that you can call in. That number is 1-626-657-2120, and I will be happy to take your phone calls, answer your questions. Another thing that's really fun to do with your herbs when you harvest them is to make an herbal tea. Now, you can go to the store and buy these, of course. I believe they're $3 or $4 for a small box. Or you can make your own using your own favorite herbs. Anything from the rinds of passion fruits, if you grow your own passion fruits, to sage leaves, lemon balm leaves are just wonderful. It just all depends on what you prefer. Peppermint tea is usually soothing and relaxing and really good for the stomach. Chamomile is comforting and soothing and great to relax with, but if you have hay fever, you don't want chamomile in your tea. Rose hips are high in vitamin C. Blackberry and raspberry leaves will give you a blackberry or raspberry tea. Those are pretty popular in the grocery store, and all you do is pick the leaves from the plants, dry them, and crush them up. Lemongrass often helps soothe the digestive system as well. And chicory root, that's that blue flower that grows wild everywhere. You can dig it up and use the root in your tea, and it adds a natural sweetness to tea. And the easiest way to decide what you like when it comes to herbal tea is put a little bit of this and a little bit of that in, you know, maybe a teaspoon of this and a teaspoon of that, and kind of mix and match until you find exactly the combination of herbs that you like. You can also look at the grocery store and see what is in your favorite herbal tea, what the ingredients is. Remember, the first ingredient is going to be what's the most prominent in your tea, and as you go down, it's going to be less and less. Be sure to crush your herbs before you try to make tea with them. This is going to release the most oils. And that brings me to another point. When I dry my herbs and I store them, I use the leaf whole. I do not crush that leaf until I get ready to use it, because that really helps you to get the freshest product that you can get. These herbs that you're going to store, they're good for about a year. After that, when your new herbal harvest starts coming in, you want to dump those herbs in your compost pile, get rid of them, and start fresh, because they do lose their flavor after a while. And again, this is why the seasonings you buy in the store are not always that strong, because they've been on those store shelves. They have been just sitting around waiting for someone to buy them. You are going to be absolutely amazed at the absolute difference between having your own versus store-bought. Now, another thing that you can do, if you like rosemary and you cook out on a grill a lot or you cook over a wood stove, put rosemary in the ashes, in the heat, in the flame, and let it come up and smoke your food. That's another great way to use up your herbal harvest. And you can do this with some of the herbs that you're going to get rid of and send to the compost pile. If you want to grab a handful and throw those on charcoal or burning wood, you can do that. Not only is it going to infuse that flavor into your food, but it's going to scent the air with that. Another great use for herbs is to make some wands by tying long sticks of herbs together, like the stems, leaves, and all. Wrap that up in some kind of twine and use those at your fireplace or wood burner during the winter. You know, as you start learning about this, there is just so much that you can do with herbs. And the other thing I want to talk about is making tinctures and salves. Fall is a great time to do this. Salves are not hard to make. Pick the herbs that you want to use, depending on what you want to do. For example, I just made a cayenne pepper salve. There is nothing in this except a little bit of beeswax, a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of organic cocoa butter, and some crushed cayenne peppers. And what do I do with that? I use that on sore muscles. That is how easy making a salve is. You just need your beeswax, your cocoa butter, or your oil, such as olive oil, or you can use a combination. The herbs that you want to use, be sure to crush them when you put them in that oil so that they can infuse. Strain it off so you can get the little pieces out. Pour it in a jar, let it cool, seal it up, and use it as you want it. A lot of people make a calendula salve out of calendula petals. That's fine, too. And tinctures. Some people use these medicinally, and some people use them to flavor food. All that this is, you pack a jar, a glass jar full of the herbs of your choice. You can pour vodka. You can pour vinegar. Vodka is best because if you use the vinegar, you're going to get an herbal vinegar. But you can pour a liquid of your choice over this. Tinctures are usually made with vodka, although some people have said brandy. And you let those herbs infuse into the liquid, strain it off, you have a tincture. And these are scented if you make it with vodka and you want to play around with making your own perfume. You actually have your perfume right there. You can dab a little bit of that scented vodka on your skin, and there's your herbal perfume. Or you could try to blend it a little better. If you get really into making perfumes, you don't want to use vodka. But if you just want to play around and see what you get, go ahead. The other thing that dried herbs are really good for is to crush them up and sprinkle them on your floor. Let it set for about 10 minutes and vacuum them up. You can mix them in with baking soda, and or you can use them straight. And so you have some ideas now of how to use some herbs. We'll be back in 2 weeks. I want to thank you for tuning in today and invite you to visit my website, experimentalhomesteader.com. And I hope you all have a great couple of weeks. If you have questions, please feel free to email me. And again, this has been Sherry Ann Richardson on the Experimental Homesteader Blog Talk Radio Show.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, 2 self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.